I'm going to try as best as I can, thank you, bro, to finish this. That's part of my testimony. And as I look out over this room, I don't know all of your stories, but some of you I do, and I know part of your story, I should say. And I hear you, every time I look around, I hear you saying that, I won't complain. I wouldn't trade our calling for anything in the world. I am so grateful God called me to preach the gospel. But also in my gratefulness, there was some naivety because I had no idea the price we would have to pay to preach the gospel. And now that I've done it for over 30 years, all here in Sacramento, I look back over it now, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I don't know all of your story, but I'm close enough to some of you that we've shared some difficult times together. We've gone through some moments that have been very, very difficult. Very, very recently with Ted and his family, and know a little about Jonathan and been praying for you. And the Porter boys and I have shared stories with us there with their dad when he passed away, and their mom gone on to glory. We are siblings or children who in ministry follow our parents, and they're both in heaven now, and we've had to learn how to do ministry without them. Most recently, Rick has done the same thing, leaving behind, or he's been left behind after his dad, an icon not only to this city, but to this region, the Western Coast, and the entire nation. Unbelievable statesman and purveyor of the gospel. And the rest of you in this room have had challenges. I have dubbed the last 3 years of my ministry as the most challenging ever, going through most difficult times, losing a best friend in ministry and reclaiming that relationship again. But in losing that, also having my wife get wounded inside of that, and for a period of time was not even able to attend our church. And most recently, having that same struggle hit my marriage and my family. Life, I don't have to pretend for y'all. Life stinks sometimes. Life is sometimes no fun. I met with people last year, council members and assembly members. I met with basketball players, pastors, teachers, counselors, students, neighbors, friends, family. And every last one of those people that I talked with last year had one thing in common. They had either lost their hope or they stated that they were hopeless. They had lost faith in the church. They had become disappointed by God. They were struggling with our nation. And they even wondered if pastors and preachers were real. All of them had those same testimony. But if that wasn't enough, I will confess to you today, and some of the near and dear friends that sit in this room know, as I have talked to you, I even lost hope. There was a period of time last year that I did not think I would be with you this time this year. Gotten to the place where I just did not think God would fix it. I knew He was able. I never doubted whether or not He could. I wondered if He would. And there was a place where I thought, maybe He's just not going to do it. And I'm just going to have to live like this. Well, in my study and my journey, there's always been a scripture that was near and dear to me. It's been a text that I've always found comfort in. And I've tried to hang on to it because it said something about priorities. It was in the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, chapter number 13, verse number 13, where he says that there are three things that abide forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Saying to me that there are three things we might want to pay attention to: faith, hope, and love. Well, in 30 years of preaching the gospel and 40 years of being in the church, I have heard sermon and sermon after love. I've heard people talk about love, chew up love, spit out love. I've heard people say we should love. Folks say I've withdrawn my love. I've heard people preach about love in so many different ways. I'm trying to figure out which one is right and which one is wrong. I see it in the Bible. I hear it taught. Everybody talks about it. And then there came this new generation of faith walkers that talked about faith like nobody's business. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Matter of fact, we even had a movement of faith believers that if you didn't have faith, you wasn't going to heaven. Got some of us to change our theology and our doctrine. You don't have to say amen. Just know I'm talking about you. There was so much going on in that we just didn't know what we was doing around it. But in all of this stuff around faith and love, I didn't hear nobody preach about hope. Didn't hear nobody talk about hope. Nobody taught on hope. Nobody shared. There was no Bible study on hope. There was no, matter of fact, I even thought at one time hope was for wimps and sissies and punks, and hope was stuff you just wishfully thought of. It wasn't something that you really could bank on or put your stuff in. And then in the middle of my struggle last year, God had me stumble across a verse in the Bible where he renewed my hope, where he told me I needed to check myself before I wrecked myself, because if you think that you're just going to make it on faith and love, you better wake up. You need some hope. And in the Old Testament, in the 78th division of Psalms, verse number 7, hid away, tucked away in there is this scripture that says these words. It says, each generation should renew its hope in God. Each generation should renew its hope in God, not forgetting the glorious miracles and obeying his commandment. Each generation. I had to think about that for a moment, because I'm a new generation. I'm past my mom and daddy's generation. I'm past my grandmother and grandfather's generation. I got Christians in my heritage, but it said each generation. My generation should renew its hope in God. I started thinking about it for a moment there. I had to really look at this. I even talked about this with my church. We renew our driver's license. Whether we want to or not, we renew it. We renew magazine subscriptions if you want to receive the periodicals on a regular basis. Some of us have even renewed our wedding vows. But when was the last time you renewed your hope in God? When was the last time you evaluated where you are and where you wanted to go, what you've been through, and said, wait a minute, if I'm going to go any further, I have to renew my hope in God, not in stuff, not in people, not in things, not in an institution such as the church, not in an institution such as the government, not in some red state or some blue state, some conservative or some liberal, not in a nation, but renew your hope in God. Get to the place that no matter what you've been through, no matter what has happened to you, no matter how tragic, no matter how disappointing, my hope has been renewed in God. I have gone through. I've had my butt kicked. I've had stuff happen that I didn't write into the script. People have said stuff I could have never thought of. People have treated me ways I never would have believed. But one thing is for certain, my hope in God stands fresh. It's not this thing that we talk about as a cliche. It's not some type of church rhetoric where we get together and try to impress one another with what we say and how we do. But I've been through hell. I've walked through hell by myself. I went through there with gasoline draws on, and I came out not smelling like smoke. And because of that, my hope is renewed in God. It don't don't have nothing to do with stained glass windows, don't have nothing to do with the edifice that we sit in, has nothing to do with our budget or our income, has nothing to do with what I have in my pocket or my portfolio. I have found out for God I live and for God I'll die. Let the creek rise. I'm going to stand for the Lord because my hope is in him, not in stuff, not in things, not in a promotion, not in a new church, not in a new position, not in a new location, not in money, anything. It's in him. Renew your hope in him. And I had to actually deal with this, because there was a side of me that struggled. Because as a kid, I hoped for stuff and it didn't come to pass. I wished for things and they didn't happen. I became a Christian and I prayed and stuff still didn't happen. Y'all ain't gonna give the testimony, but I'm gonna tell you like it is. I have prayed for folks and they didn't get better. I have prayed believing God that he would heal them and they didn't get better. I came home from Atlanta one Monday night and my brother had been stricken with a stroke. And I remember standing there with his slurred speech in an emergency room. And I prayed for him and I said, God, I know you and I know you well. I want you to heal my brother. Thursday morning, they pulled the plug and he went on to be with the Lord. I almost quit preaching. I almost stopped preaching. I was at Harvest Church. Pastor Perry hadn't arrived yet. We were without a pastor, and my brother, my dog, my boy, my ace boom coon, the cat that got me through in ministry, was no longer here. And I said, God, why would you do that? Why would you let him go? He was the one thing that encouraged me, that kept me moving, that had me on the right path. God, my hope wasn't in him. My hope was in you, and you let me down. How come you didn't come through? And God said, I'm going to teach you how to do it without him. I'm going to show you how to live and do it without him. And I'm going to renew your hope in me. And I had to deal with this because of the English vocabulary, there are two definitions for hope. And one of them is wishful thinking. And I was stuck on the one that was wishful thinking. It's where you put your hope or your expectations in a person or a thing, hoping, wishing that it will come to pass. But then there's this other definition of hope that I'd never heard of. And I actually found out that it's biblical. It's spiritual. Well, think about that. Webster actually put a spiritual definition in hope because he knew hope came from God. And he says it's this, it's the feeling or the desire for something with the confidence of it being fulfilled. Good God. It is the feeling or the desire of something with the confidence of its fulfillment. And why am I talking to preachers? Why am I talking to pastors? Why am I talking to people like this? Because I've come to understand that if we don't have hope, how in the hell are people going to have hope? If we don't have a feeling or a desire for something and the expectation to its fulfillment, then why are we preaching? Why are we doing what we do if we don't believe that God has the power to make it happen? Why did we choose this vocation? Why are we in this lifestyle? What are we doing? Going through the motions, collecting a check, just sitting until retirement? Or do we have something that we're supposed to give to the community and to the believers of God that only comes from God? Because the reality is this, you cannot give away anything you don't possess. You cannot impart that which you don't have. And I said, for a season, I lived without hope, but I can't do it again. And I understand why we don't talk about it. I understand now. And my time's almost up. I understand why we don't do what we do. Because, see, hope is an inside job. You can't get a haircut and look good. You don't hear me. Hope is not cosmetic. You can't dress it up. You can't put mascara on it. You can't put a foundation in. You don't understand what I'm saying. You can't. It's something that happens on the inside that makes evident on the outside. And what's so embarrassing about hope, this is what's so embarrassing. Hope will take you where stuff, things, and people can't keep you. That's why we don't like talking about it. That's why, see, when you got hope, you sound stupid. When you have hope, you talk about stuff that other people don't talk about. When you have hope, you paint a picture that other people can't see. When you have hope, you talk about things that other people have given up on. And they say, you crazy, because it won't work. That's why we don't preach about it, because hope will embarrass you. I ain't getting no amens. When everyone else has given up on a community and you still have hope and you start talking about change, people look at you weird. When everybody else has given up on your family and you still have hope, people start saying, what's wrong with you? That's why we don't like talking about it, because it's embarrassing. It takes us where people and stuff can't keep. Job says in the 17th chapter of Job, where is my hope? Can anybody find it? No, you can't, because my hope will go with me to the grave. In other words, y'all ain't ready for this one. I will die. If it kills me, I'm going to die with hope. You ain't hearing me. In other words, you can change your mind. You can cross over to the other side. But until the day I die, my hope will be in God, because I believe he will change it. He will make it right. And if I have to die having hope, then let me die. They've given up on South Sacramento. They've said South Sacramento can't be saved. I have a church in South Sac. You've got a church in South Sac. The devil is a lie. We are the second most violent city in the state of California per capita. And the most violent area is Mack Road. They said it couldn't change. The devil is a lie. They said that South Sacramento will never turn around and it'll never become better. You better wake up. There's some stupid people that still have some hope. There's some people that believe that if God is in it, it can turn around. And I'm here to stand to tell you that because of a program and faith-based leaders, crime, violent crime is down 75% in South Sacramento. Fatal shootings between gang members are down 100%, because there's some stupid people that got some hope that believe God can do something different. And now, I'm just looking for several people that is as crazy as I am. It's as stupid as I am. That have put your hope in God. And don't mind dying with your hope to see what God will do. Y'all don't think this is biblical? Well, there were three fellas that put their hope in God. And when the king said, you better bow when the music plays, the three fellas said, we will not bow. King, we're not careful how we're going to answer you, because our hope is in God. He says, you don't understand that if you don't bow, you may lose your life. That they say back to him, we're not careful how we answer you. We know that our God is able to deliver us, but if for some reason he won't deliver us, we shall not bow. Who in here has got hope like that? Who in here that says that if God don't rescue us. We shall not put our hope in anybody else. Our hope is in the living God. And when they threw them into the furnace, they didn't go by themselves. When the king looked in there, he said, did not we throw three? There's four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of Man. I dare you, I double dog dare you to put your hope in God and see if he won't show up and help us turn this city around in the name of the Lord. God help me. God help me. God help me. God help us. Renew it. Renew it. Renew it. Renew it. I know you've been through difficult times. I agree with you. Every last one of us in this room has had some struggle, some challenge. People have said we're crazy, that we've lost our mind. But I dare you today to put your hope back in God. I want to see what God will do. I'm not looking for another check. I'm not looking for another new car. I'm not looking for a new home. I just want God to do the things he said he would do. And I don't believe he'll do them if we just keep preaching on faith and love. We got to start talking about hope. And what I found out when God renewed my hope, hope is the legs that faith stands on. You don't have faith without hope. And I think in the church, we've tried to bypass it. I'm going to my seat. I'm done. It has already been proven that a man can live here on earth 40 days without food. It's already been proven. It's already been proven that you can live 4 days without water. It's already been proven. You can live 4 minutes without air. But I dare none of you live 4 seconds without hope. Shouldn't happen. We've got to renew our hope so that the people we preach to, the people we encounter, they'll have hope also. If we're hopeless, then how do we expect other people to have hope? So today, before you leave, before you walk out of that door, put a marker in the sand right here at Capital Christian Center. Today, God, I'm going to renew my hope. And my hope is not in stuff. It's in you. That you are able to do anything. And our church, our family, this community, this city, and this region is going to be different because our hope is in you. Not in a strategy, not in the stuff we do, but it's in you. Because we know you're able. Even if you don't, we know you're able. God, please give us a marker that will put our hope in you. God, we've had good days and bad days. And yes, the good days outweigh the bad days. And God, we've made a decision that we won't complain. But God, we need our hope renewed in you. And if our hope is renewed in you, we can't even imagine the things that are going to take place. So God, today, in this room, in this chapel at Capital Christian Center, make this the place, make this the memorial where we renew our hope and look forward to the great, the glorious, and the magnificent things you shall do here on earth, in this city, this region, because our hope is in you. In Jesus' name we pray.